Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, Faithful? It is absolutely incredible to be with you guys today. Now, I do have just a couple quick just kind of announcements. Sorry for the timing today. I understand practice is ongoing as we speak, but I've got family in town, so I have to move my schedule around a considerable amount to make sure I get the show done. So apologies about that. Practice has not concluded. We are recording this at 1:28 p.m. I believe it's Saturday. it's the 15th. Yep, Saturday. And so if there are any updates in the press conference, that will take place after this show. So just we're going with what we got now. We have an updated practice report. Who's in, who's not. Very positive injury news across the board today. We'll update that. And then we concluded our third and fourth quarter film review early this morning. It's been, man, I started at about 7:30 this morning. It is now 1:30. It's been several hours just going through tape, offense, defense, special teams. We have a lot more notes. This could turn into a quite lengthy podcast today, but this is what we want because there is new information about the 49ers coming out at a rapid pace. Depth chart updates, positional changes on the offensive line. These are the things that are exciting, and we're here to catch you up on all of it. Thank you for joining the 49ers Rush Podcast. This is episode 1695. Our executive producers are David Gill, 49ers George 365, Corey Robbins. Thank you guys and all the countdown crew, the hashtag CCs. What is up? Look at this. Quentin, first live, usually listen at work. What's up, Quentin? So thankful you are here. And everybody that is here, whether you are listening to a later, recorded show through audio, you're watching YouTube, we're on Twitch, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram, we're on Facebook. We are everywhere. So if you know anybody that's a 49ers fan, say, hey, have you watched or listened to the 49ers Rush Podcast? Recommend us. I'm proud of what we do here. And the only reason why we're allowed to do that is because of you guys. So thank you. Reese with the question coming in hot. John, are you more worried with second string edge or offensive tackle? Not concerned about offensive tackle at all with Trent Williams. McKivitz, awesome. Vidarian Lowe, the high ankle sprain sucks. He hasn't been getting work in, but I love him as a number three. Enrique Cruz has been god-awful. Enrique Cruz has been cut-worthy. He might be the first fifth-rounder cut at this pace. But we'll see. There's still more time. There's still two more preseason games. But if Enrique Cruz continues at this pace, he will be cut. Austin Pleasant, so much better than he is. But Austin Pleasant was moved to guard today. And, dude, shout out to Austin Pleasant. This is a guy that I was like, when they first brought him in 2.5 years ago, he is not a scheme fit. He is too heavy-footed. He does not fit this scheme at all. Body transformation, worked through 2 years, two off seasons, practice squads, all those things. Now this dude's out there just kicking ass. Again, pancakes, pulling out in space. Couldn't do that when he first signed here. So Chris Forster special. This is what he does. He can get these guys that are back end of the practice squad players, get them 2 to 3 years, and get them NFL ready. Jake Brendel. I mean, this is what he does. This is Tom Compton. There are just guys that he could just make work. Daniel Brunskill. That's where he's at his best. So much more concerned with the edge rusher. That is, it's an issue because you look at Romello Height, who was your second draft choice in the third round, but second pick overall this year. He has looked not good. Unimpactful, I would say. Not horrible, but he ain't ready. He's not ready. So that's where we're at. So still more concerned about edge than I am offensive tackle. Now the good news is whenever you're looking at edge, man, Keon White's awesome. Sam O's awesome. Mikael Williams will come back. It's awesome. The answer is in the house. Offensive tackle, Vidarian Lowe, all the confidence in the world. Austin Pleasance, I'm fine with him as a backup right tackle. So Yeah, I don't think either are major positions of concern, to be honest with you. Oh, what's going on? I love it, Slick. Vita Vea? Man, the more and more you read about Vita Vea, the 49ers reportedly, from Mike Garofalo, reached out. They do their due diligence all the time. Vita Vea would be amazing. I don't think the Bucs are trading him. I think money is going to solve this problem. The fact that Vita Vea is signing autographs yesterday with PayVia, it's a money issue. The trade request, it's a money issue. This is Trent Williams. It's a money issue. Money will solve this problem. He's too damn good for them not to trade. They're adamant they're not trading him. They've had an offseason from hell, the Bucks. Great draft, but Vita Vea is not going anywhere. Now, if he is, again, and I've been adamant about this, like, I would do a second round pick for him and a future fifth rounder. I would do a second and sixth this year. I'm in. I would trade, you know, Alfred Collins and a third. I would do that. I'm not doing Alfred Collins in a second. But, yeah, I'm in. But it takes three to tango. Vita Vea's got to want to come here. 49ers got to want to come here. And the Bucs have to be willing to trade him. They could get more from an AFC team and send him to a non-conference, you know, playoff hopeful. It just doesn't make a lot of sense there. But anyway, do with what you will. Steve, what's up, man? Glad to see you here. Was there anyone that you have a bad grade, yet they progressed in the second half? Man, awesome question. Yeah, I would say Carver Willis, which probably should be the title of today's show. Carver Willis is badass in the run game. And this showed in tape. This isn't new to us. And if you watched our tape breakdown, whenever we broke down his college tape over on the 49ersrush.com and our Patreon channel, which, man, all four quarters of the preseason game are up on both sites, patreon.com/49ersrushpodcast, the 49ersrush.com, every single play, coaches tape, end zone, all 22, broken down. Man, I had so much fun. Anyway, I'm going to be smiling all day just because the tape is out there and it was so fun. Carver Willis, we said this in the diagnosing of his college tape, amazing run game, horrible pass pro. That continued almost the entire game, third and fourth quarter, when Carver Willis played left guard. But here's what I said, okay? Here's in my notes. I have 8 points. Carver Willis had some awesome plays. His pass pro did get better throughout the game. And you don't need him to be good. He's not going to be a good pass pro player at any point really this year, probably. But if you can just get him to be serviceable and not make major mistakes. And so I'm watching it in the fourth quarter. And as if you guys go through the breakdown, you'll hear my tone shift. It's like, okay, that's not bad. All right. Yeah, you can. This will work. Okay, man, that's three good pass plays in a row. Then he just completely whiffs on a blitz where he, the centers overload left. So they're fanning to the left side. He helps the center in the A gap and completely misses the number two defender coming and just scot-free to the quarterback hit. Carver Willis gave up the most pressures. Only three were accounted, and that one was a quarterback hit. PFF didn't attribute to him. They're wrong in that, 100% on him, because the center went left. Enrique Cruz went left and actually had a positive snap. Free blitzer looks like it's Enrique Cruz's fault, but it's not if you know the 49ers offensive line rules, and that's kind of the issue with PFF. They don't know everybody's line rules, so wherever the pressure is closest to, they attribute. 100% that was on Carver Willis. But it was like, man, dude, you are building positivity. And then you missed it. And that's the same issue that Connor Colby had in the first quarter as well. But still, the anchor is standing straight up in pass pro, just getting blown up into the quarterback. I mean, you count how many times Carver Willis hit the quarterback, probably two or three times as he's throwing, because he's just getting just blasted backwards. Run game, A+. Had a 90 grade in the run game. A+ Carver Willis. Pass pro, so bad. Even whenever he's not standing up and he has some bend, his balance issues are off. Way over the skis. And so then you're just lunging and grabbing and holding on for dear life. Quarterback hit. Got better, but, if I was a coach, and this is in my notes, and I talked about this in one of the breakdowns, Carver Willis and Connor Colby should be duking it out for the ones. Robert Jones is not an NFL player. Like, I hate to say that. At this point, taking a year off, way too much rust. His tape was god-awful. Pass and run game. Just horrible. like cuttable. And sure enough, today at practice, Carver Willis, Connor Colby, rotating with the ones. Connor Colby's getting the start, so you moved him back to left guard. And again, the starter right now should be Connor Colby. He is the best guard not named Dominic Pooney on the roster, and it's not close. I really don't think it's close. The upside of Carver Willis is there. How good he is in the run game, it is awesome. Connor Colby's still making mistakes, but he can anchor better than Carver Willis. He has better technique than Carver Willis. He's just got to be more aware of the blitzes and the stunts, which was his problem last year. The ceiling for Carver Willis is there, and he's going to be the eventual center. He's going to be the eventual starter there. Like, I love that his run game has translated so much. But now you look at the depth chart at left guard, you've got Connor Colby and Carver Willis splitting the one reps. Robert Jones took some number two reps, and Austin Pleasance has been kicked inside. I'm from Texas, and one of the worst things that could ever happen is whenever it's dinner time and you don't have what you need for the dinner for the family. And so I'm a big steak, barbecue, you name it, grill out. That's what I love, and that's why I use Omaha Steaks. So whether it's a rushed weeknight or a Saturday cookout, you can have quality protein on hand when you need it. Ribeyes for special occasion, juicy burgers for a cookout, grilling chicken, seafood, gourmet Franks. Omaha Steaks has what you want. Plus, they now have sides, desserts, and more. So a great dinner is minutes away. And the best thing about it is it's steakhouse quality without the steakhouse prices. There's no more last-minute run-its to the store. It arrives vacuum-sealed, frozen, ready to go. And if you've never tried them, the Burger Perfection Flight is the perfect introduction. For just $79.99, you get 20 premium steak burgers crafted from five distinct cuts of steak. You get four filet mignon burgers, four New York strip burgers, four ribeye burgers, four brisket burgers, four sirloin burgers. So try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, you get $35 off with the promo code BEEF, B-E-E-F. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. I think it's a testament to how bad the guards have been. And whenever I say things like Connor Colby's the best, he's the best on the roster. He is not good. None of these guys are good complete guards. You go with Carver Willis and the upside and the rookie, you're going to get Brock Purdy killed. You're going to get him killed. Connor Colby is the safest choice. Do you trade? Might not be a bad idea, but major, major shakeup. Robert Jones is not the answer. And Robert Jones's break glass in case of emergency might even be to the point where Robert Jones might not even make this roster. Like, I know it's his first game back after taking a year off, but, oh, dude, it's so bad. That was some terrible, terrible tape. So, Jack Jones practicing. Let's get to the practice update today. So many positive injury news. Mike Evans back practicing. He's been practicing back in team. Catching passes from Brock Purdy in 11-on-11, so that's huge. Mike Evans, oh, that's awesome. Jacob Cowing back at practice. All it took was Deshaun Stripling and Jordan Watkins having a good game. And sure enough, Jacob Cowing is healthy. The hip flexor injury, he's back at practice. That is huge. That is huge. Again, I'm still in the, not Cowing fan club, but I do think he has an outside shot at this roster. Punt return was god-awful. Jordan Watkins was badass as a receiver catching the ball. Jordan Watkins was the worst blocker I've ever seen as a wide receiver. Jordan Watkins was the worst blocker ever on kickoff return. Jordan Watkins was terrible in punt return. Will Pauling was, I think he might have had the worst performance of any player, you know, the undrafted free agent. He had three catches, no broken tackles, three punt returns, no broken tackles, three kickoff returns, no broken tackles. All of them were bad. Didn't field a punt and allowed it to bounce and lost an extra 15. Will Pauling was bad. So it's like, man, the camp of the Will Pauling could surpass Jacob Cowing. Not that the battle's over. Will Pauling's been awesome in camp, but I would probably say Will Pauling might have had the worst performance of any player not named Robert Jones. Like, those two guys, probably the worst of the worst. But just one game. Things can change. Jacob Cowing back at practice. I think that's huge. Stribling and Watkins playing really, really well as wide receiver position. Yeah, that's going to heal you up real quick, buddy. Jack Jones broke his hand, all that stuff, back at practice. Dude, Jack Jones is a boss, man. That dude is a dog. I freaking love it. Marquise Siegel injured his oblique, back at practice. He ain't missing no damn time. Nick Martin, stinger, he hits so damn hard, back in practice. All positives. All positives. Love that. Side work injuries. Kyle Juszczyk with the broken finger. Christian Kirk still out there. And Brett Toth. At some point, you got to play, man. He's brought in to be the backup center and, you know, versatile guard. Haven't really seen him do much. Drake Nugent put together a very good first quarter. Got worse in the second quarter. But you need centers. Toth, let's go. Not practicing. Still Nick Bosa not out there, and Christian McCaffrey. Not in Curtis Rourke with the ribs. Those are the only guys that like weren't out there that was a possibility they could be out there. But yeah, Jack Jones back in it, man. Jack Jones back in it. Whose tape was better than we thought? Bryson Eason was unreal. Now, I know he was the number one PFF score and all that kind of stuff. Bryson Eason was unreal, man. Like, that dude. And so, like, Bryson, he's the only guy built like he is, the 6'2", 320 type guy. And it's like, okay, awesome versus double teams, awesome one-on-ones, getting penetration consistently, no negatives on the tape. And then the best thing about Bryson Eason, they run a screen, and the guard lets them go. Instant alert. And I always used to tell my players, if you think it's too good to be true, a lot of times it is. If that guard lets you go, they're doing it for a reason. They want you to be dumb and keep getting upfield. Bryson Eason stops, reaches out, grabs the running back. It was a screenplay, blew it up by himself. Like, you're talking about veteran recognition from an undrafted free agent. Just doesn't get moved versus double teams. It was so badass. So Bryson Eason, he's one of the guys, but the PFF score would say, like, you know, he had a good game. Man, I'll say this, Darrell Luter Jr. I'm not a Darrell Luter guy, number 28. I thought he had a badass game. Coverage, he got beat on a comeback route, ran stride for stride on a fade, amazing in the run game. That's what he always is. I would argue this is the first time in four seasons that I finished a preseason game with Darrell Luter and was like, dude, he played good. So, again, awesome question. Ari Siaga, 2024. Darrell Luter would be there. Maybe my player of the second half, tight end Hayden Rucci. That dude just put up a hell of a game. And he played across the entire spectrum. First, second, third, fourth quarter. I saw one kind of negative play where he was on that cross block, the Z Zoro block. Where you pull from the right side and you kick out the end and then you run inside, and he didn't bring his weight with him and kind of got knocked back a little bit. That was the biggest negative. He didn't miss a block or anything, just didn't get movement vertically in that. There were so many plays. Hayden Rucci, awesome in the run game, awesome in the pass game, just doing what he's supposed to be doing. Now, I don't think Hayden Rucci brings a lot in the passing game, but if George Kittle doesn't play early, which is an if, Hayden Rucci, like, I have no problem moving him past Braden Willis, who's more of a jack of all trades guy. He can do a little bit of everything. But as far as from a blocking standpoint, special team standpoint, 83. Hayden Rucci really, really impressed me with just the consistency, the violence, and just, man, A-plus blocking. You look at his PFF grades. I don't think that they did him justice. I don't know how they came up with the grades there. Hayden Rucci was awesome. So a little bit more faith in the depth at tight end. If he played that way on Sundays and you got him 15 snaps, you know, 10 to 15 snaps as a blocker and special teamer, that's valuable in a Kyle Shanahan offense that likes to do 12, 22 personnel. I know Juice, you know, with the broken finger, he's going to be fine week one. No concern there. But that was one. And again, Wesley Grimes. Like, I'm a Wesley Grimes fanatic. He's my guy. Undrafted free agent wide receiver, huge, fast, all those things. Only played 13 snaps. A huge impact. Only had one catch. You know, it was a nice physical contested catch. Nobody looked his way from out there. But you go from watching 17 Jordan Watkins try to block. He doesn't even try to block. Like, Jordan Watkins won't touch anybody. Like, he literally, like, ugh. That's the thing. I struggle getting behind 7-on-7 football players in the NFL. Jordan Watkins is that for me. It just, he's returning a punt. He is so worried about calling for a fair catch. He's out there blocking. Several plays will not touch anybody. We'll watch guys tackle, you know, Jake Brindle-esque. I don't like it. And then 18 comes in at the same spot, and that dude's fighting dudes and punching dudes. I like physicalities from a wide receiver. Now, Jordan Watkins, badass wide receiver, gets separation, catches everything. You got to give him credit there. Jordan Watkins, terrible kick returner, even the worst kick return lead blocker because there's two guys back there. If it doesn't go to him, you got to block for the other guy. Refused to. Didn't even touch anybody. Two different kickoff returns. He's supposed to be a lead blocker. Didn't touch a soul. So many, like, I was even thinking, dude, if I put out just like 10 plays of Jordan Watkins trying to block, it's scary how bad it is. Can that change? I totally understand why he didn't get playing time last year. Like, dude, you got to be willing to block. Wesley Grimes, I like Grimes. I'm not saying I like him more than Jordan Watkins. I'm saying watching 17 refuse to block for three straight quarters, and then 18 Grimes comes in, and it's just like, holy shit, that's Juwan Jennings, man. That dude's out there trying to start fights and get, like, I like that. Is Jordan Watkins better than Grimes overall? Yeah. Yeah, he is. I'm not saying he's not. I want Wesley Grimes way more snaps. I liked what I saw special teams-wise. I like it. So that's where that is. What's up, Lava? What's up, JP? Appreciate you guys. Yeah, Carver Willis running with the ones. I love it. I love it. I love it. And Invader, yeah, I don't see Pleasance making the roster. If Lois said, I don't see Pleasance making the roster as well. He is ascending, but this is a career practice squad guy that played pretty damn good whenever filling in for Trent Williams last year, if we're going to be honest with you. Like, maybe somebody does pick him up, but I don't think that he's making the 53 either. Yeah, right here, JP. What do you feel about Martin tackling? I watched the film, but wanted to know how you felt. Dude, Martin brings the thump. There is no doubt. He's just so inconsistent and slow to recognize when to feel. Just slow diagnose and slow react. But on the plays where he has a blitz call, he's unbelievable. You've got to remove the thinking. He's just not ready. He's not ready. But I am not ready to say Nick Martin's not it. Like, I think he could be a guy. Jaden Duggar, the areas where Nick Martin misses, Jaden Duggar's already excelling at. That's the indictment, right? But he made so many good plays. And probably the thing that's going to determine who plays the most, you got to cover as that number three backer, especially with all the 13 personnel that's going to be taking place in the NFC West with Seattle, with, you know, Arizona, with the Rams, of course, who started the whole trend. That number three backer's got to cover. Nick Martin was awesome in coverage. There was one zone drop that he had where he flares out perfectly right where he's supposed to be on the flare, running back flare, and then got depth to cut off the corner. And then this was the play that he got the personal foul. But, like, dude, the zone spot zone drop was awesome. I thought he played well. I thought he played well on special teams. It's just not a polished product. And I'm not sure Nick Martin's ready to start. But, yeah. Oh, right here. Don't bother me. He says, Alfred Collins plus Mac Jones plus a pick for Vita Vea. That's a little too spicy for me. I see Mac Jones worth a second. I see Alfred Collins worth a late third or fourth at this point. I've seen so much good tape from Collins at the last part of the year. Yeah, he's slow to come back from injuries. We saw that last year. Tape was bad. Mac Jones is a late second. I mean, Collins and Mac Jones in a seventh for Vita Vea, and you got to get the contract done. Yeah, I'd be cool with that. I don't know how much, but why would they want Mac Jones and Baker Mayfield? I don't understand that point. Steven, I'm with you. Collins, Mac Jones in a seventh. All right, cool. I'm cool with that. That's about as good as I would go. Oscar, what's up, man? Appreciate you, brother. Says, hashtag CC, I know that it has been thrown around that Strib and others that look good should be shut down until week one. Can't get better if you're playing safe in my eyes. You got to play. Rookies got to play. You got to get reps. You got to be ready for week one. You got to play. Now, I kind of like what the 49ers are doing with the vets. Dude, you got to sit. Vets sit. Play it safe with them. No, rookies got to play in the preseason, period. Like I like that they're playing. Strip's got to keep playing. Now, maybe you just put him out there for the first quarter, a couple, you know, whatever. He's got to keep playing. Have to. You can't play it too safe. With vets, you play it safe. You know what that is. But, yeah. Look at this big red. John just got home from my senior football picks. Oh, that's a teary-eyed moment. My kids held a picture of my passed-away wife. So emotional. Man, dude. Nothing but love for you, bud. Appreciate what you're pouring out into those kids coaching high school ball. You know, I talked to a couple coaching buddies yesterday. You guys literally changed the lives of so many kids. I would not have made it out if the high school football coaches changed my life. Thank you, Big Red, for what you do. And nothing but love for you and your family. And dude, I know how much you pour into those guys. I really, really do appreciate you, man. Thank you so much. Oh, dang. It says less than a week till preseason high school football. Got DeSoto and Prosper. Good Lord. DeSoto, yeah, that's not going to go well. They are a behemoth. All right here, Oscar. He says a second, man, the thing's on a delay. I apologize about that. Second in 2027 and Nick Martin to Tennessee for Jeffrey Simmons. To get Jeffrey Simmons, I think you'd have to trade 3 first-round picks, maybe more. I think he's the best defensive tackle in the NFL. He's got some off-the-field major issues, but, dude, Jeffrey Simmons ain't going nowhere. I think you could offer 2 first-round picks and you wouldn't get him. I think he's the best. I really, really do. But Nick Martin going to Tennessee, yeah, right there. Invader, you and Johnny Dell, you guys hold this thought, and that is good company to be in. Carver Willis will take that job no later than week 8. I would be so happy if he did. The run blocking is such a major issue for the 49ers, and Carver Willis is an ace already at it. But, man, Brock Purdy is going to get crushed. I'd ride with Connor Colby right now, and then we would see what would happen with the kind of development of Carver Willis, but that's where we are. Now, I will say this, man, we have had so much success betting with my bookie. We will post all of our season-long bets, weekly bets, over on the 49ersrush.com. Go sign up. But they have a free bet up right now. All you got to do is use promo code 49ers. You get a free bet from $50 up to $500. If you miss that bet, you get the money credited right back to you. One-time rollover, which is industry-leading. But they have a bet, and I hate this one. It hurts, but I bet it today. Will the Seattle Seahawks raise a championship banner, their past one, at any point this season? It's a free bet. It's a lock of the week. So there's a free bet. You bet up to $10. So, man, if you go sign up, you get a free bet, $50 to $500 at mybookie.ag. Use promo code 49ers. But even on top of that, you get a free $10 bet. Free 10 bucks? What? Come on, man. Go bet. Football is back, ladies and gentlemen. And whether you've been betting for years or you're just looking to get into the action for the first time, my bookie is where I'm playing. I'll be sharing some of the spots that we're on. And if you want to follow along with us betting every single week, weekly, season long, you name it, we post those at the 49ersrush.com. Every single bet we do and on our Patreon channel, the 49ers Rush podcast. So, and that's the thing, you get a pick with my bookie, whether you just want to jump in, you want to bet props, you want to bet over under, you want to bet who wins outright, MVP, whatever sport, college football, NFL, doesn't matter. It is up on my bookie and they are ready to help you guys out. So if you're new to the club, here's what we're going to do. We're setting up a safety net. You get a bet back bonus. Your very first bet from $50 all the way up to $500. If you lose, you get it right back, plus a $25 casino credit. So sign up at mybookie.ag. Use promo code 49ers, 49ERS. Opt into our bet back bonus and take your first shot with a safety net. Football's finally here. Get in now and cash in with MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, and I mean anywhere. I bet in California and Texas. Doesn't matter where you are. You can use MyBookie. Let's go. Let's go. All right. A couple other updates that I thought were awesome. This one from Lombardi. Deshaun Stribling's already been removed from special teams drills. That is awesome. So getting that vet treatment, he's off to the side, working with Mike Evans on wide receiver drills. Just another testament that Stribling has passed whatever bar that is. I think that that's huge. And so that is a big deal. So shout out to, you know, Deshaun Stribling getting to that point. I think that that is a big deal that, like, look, this rookie, a lot of rookies, you have to make the roster with special teams. He's surpassed that. Obviously, he's making this team. He's the 33rd overall pick in this draft class. But come on, man. Deshaun Stribling, that dude. Sticking with wide receiver, DeMarcus Robinson, multiple catches again. Didn't see him in the preseason game. He is that guy. He just continues to deliver with the first team, second team, third team. Doesn't matter. DeMarcus Robinson is a staple, consistent wide receiver production, way ahead. Like, the depth chart for the wide receiver room, obviously Mike Evans, Deshaun Stribling, Deebo Samuel, Jordan Watkins. Those are your four. Christian Kirk hasn't practiced. Jordan Watkins would probably be your five. And then you're like, okay, who's going to be that six? Christian Kirk, Jacob Cowing, somebody. But your four are set. Mike Evans, Deebo, Strib, DeMarcus Robinson. Those are your four. You got room for definitely one more. Jordan Watkins seems to be the leader in the clubhouse with the performance he had. Still flawed performance. Jacob Cowing, come on, man. You got to do something. Christian Kirk, that calf strains, it's been a month. He's working on the side field, but with wide receivers, you got to hit that GPS numbers. So like whenever you do your conditioning tests and they wear their GPS trackers all the time, till you're hitting those numbers consistently, you don't get to go back and practice. You mess up a calf strain again. Now you're talking another month as soon as you pull it. Somebody who's had, 10 plus in his life, but I am not an NFL athlete. RSF Niner, shout out to Raj. Deebo Samuels continues to showcase his versatility of practice, getting reps out of the backfield. I love that. Making multiple catches over the middle in team drills and worked on fielding kickoffs. That is huge. You cannot go out there with Jordan Watkins as a kickoff returner. You just can't do that. If an injury or two happens, cool. You can't have Jordan Watkins out there. You just can't. He's not physical enough. If they don't kick it to him, you're screwed. You're playing 10 against 11. Like, he showed you that. Can't do it. Deebo should be on every single kickoff return if he's signed, but you got to have two guys back there. Got to have two. Who's going to be that number two? Kalen Black, Jordan James. It cannot be Jordan Watkins. Like, that ship has sailed. He's shown you he refuses. He just refuses to block. He won't do it. Also, shout out from 49ers website. I don't know who the original was. Coach Yak put this up there, but again, I don't know who the original one is. The 49ers worked out tight end Khalil Dinkins. He's back, baby. So he was released on an injury settlement, and here's how this works in the NFL. Depending on the injury, you set a timeline. There's a standard timeline for like a calf strain, 6 weeks. Hamstring, 8 weeks. High ankle sprain, 8 weeks. ACL, 9 months. So whatever the injury was, which it was NFI, so the 49ers didn't have to disclose it, they released him on an injury settlement. So whatever that injury is, let's say it had 3 weeks left, you pay him up front on those 3 weeks, and once that time expires, then you can have him back. That seems to be where they are. So Khalil Dinkins working out for the 49ers today, and again, they don't have to divulge the injury, so we don't know the timeline, but it would be nice to get him back if he has eclipsed that time. He got paid. You bring him back. You gave him all that, undrafted free agent guaranteed money. So he's already got that. Could be nice. Hayden Rucci looking good, but Khalil Dinkins upside way past what Hayden Rucci could do. Reese, Valdez didn't look good. I agree with that assessment. Yeah, Sebastian Valdez, I talked about this yesterday in the first half. So many amazing plays, so many god-awful plays. that continued in the second half. There was one play where he got blown off the ball in a single block, 14 yards. Literally in a run play, he got driven off the ball. I'm not exaggerating. Like, that's how bad it was. Very next play, had a tackle for loss. There's a place for that in the NFL. But you can't be a defensive tackle getting driven off the ball 14 yards. Alfred Collins had some bad plays. There's no doubt. But 14 yards, like, yeah, I agree with that assessment. I don't think that overall he looked good. Some splash plays. Some splash plays for sure. That is there. Yeah, Halton is really good. Dude, Halton's freaking awesome, dude. Ah, that dude is so freaking good. Man, I'm so bad. Right here, John Carver Willis takes over week two. Ah, yeah, I love it, man. Yeah, I'm not touching some of these questions. you guys are awesome. I love y'all, man. Yeah, right here, William. Yeah, Seattle signed Terrion Arnold. Yeah, alleged kidnapper and doing that shit during the season. I get talent. Talent's always going to get extra, you know, chances. Dude, shame on them. Shame on them. That's a joke. And the funny thing is, you get, you know, if you're watching Hard Knocks, which I love, and you got a head coach out there talking about being a good dad and being a good person off the field, and the same day you signed Terrion Arnold, the same day? Yeah. Talent gives second chances, man. Yeah, I ain't doing that shit, man. That's fucking coward. That's you're gonna ask kids to wear that jersey? And you got to let it, you know, the process play out, but ugh, yuck. Kid, what's up, man? Appreciate the consistent safety conversation from Kid Clientele 19. John, I'm cool with Linton Siegel and Ashton Davis rotating that free safety. The thing with Siegel, he's better than he was last year. He's already shown that. He's tough as hell. The run game, awesome. I thought he played really, really well. Ashton Davis was consistent, not a playmaker, but consistent. Stock up with those two players after the first preseason game. I think so. Oh, look at this. Don't bother me. Hot take, Stribling Rookie of the Year, JK. It would be nice for the franchise. It sure as hell would be. Oh, that would be awesome. Man, the chat, you guys are bummed. Brindell. Stefan says, John, it's pronounced Brindell. Brindle. Brindell. I know that's how they say it. Sorry, pronunciation is not my thing. I'm from Texas. Mark, what's up, Mark P? Watkins must believe he's one injury away from ending his career. He just plays so timid. And, you know, that was a perfect fit at Ole Miss where you don't have to block ever. And you literally take plays off. I went through Watkins tape and I was like, dude, this is an undraftable player to me. But the upside is there. The speed, the vertical, the separation. It's just like he's a 7-on-7 player. Can he develop the physicality? And shout out to, you know, a player that also fits that exact same diagnosis on the offside, Jacob Robinson. He was one of the worst graded run players in the entire NFL through preseason last year. Small, shifty. You know, he was on the show. He was awesome. Shout out to Jacob Robinson. He came out thumping, baby. Little grasshopper got some pop to him. And so, like, you can overcome that. And, you know, you sit through film and you watch that tape of Jordan Watkins and you're just like, dude, you can't do these things. You're catching the ball. That's awesome. You're getting open. There's more. You don't block, you don't get the rock. There's a reason why Jordan Watkins didn't play. And there's a reason why he was getting so many snaps all the way into the fourth quarter. You got to get those reps and you got to show you belong every play. Can't, like, ball ain't always coming to you. And if you're not throwing it to Jordan Watkins, he is a major weakness on the roster if he's out there. Because you're blocking with 10, not 11. Can he change that? Can he change that? Can he change that? John, I understand Watkins can catch, but he needs to be the complete package. He is not that. He's not that. Invader, I knew he'd love the part of Stribling's game because he was a great blocker in college. And Stribling struggled blocking too, but you at least see him engage and make contact. Stribling struggling blocking a defensive end. Jordan Watkins refused to block a safety. And yeah, I do value corners that can play in the run game more than I probably should. I value wide receivers that can block in the run game probably more than I should. Corners should cover. Wide receivers should catch. That's the primary. I don't like flawed prospects. Like Ambry Thomas, God, couldn't stand him. Kello Witherspoon, when he was with us, couldn't stand him. Like, I just don't like soft football players. Yeah, like, it's just not me. Invader, I had Boston and Conception over Cooper. I had Boston over both of them. I was the biggest Denzel Boss. I had a first-round grade, rush, crush, all those things. He's killing it out there now. We'll see what happens, and I'm very happy with the choice. The 49ers had, you know, Stribling over all those guys. Maybe not Casey Concepcion, but yeah, that's kind of do with that what you will. Also, you know, in my notes, wanted to talk about Tatum Bethune. And again, when we're talking about guys like Nick Martin struggling to diagnose, Jordan Watkins being soft, Tatum Bethune is a guy that has overcome so many obstacles from his rookie tape. When Tatum Bethune came out his rookie year, I was like, dude, I don't know if this is a player you want to spend time on. He can't cover. He's the worst special teams player I've seen. He could just play in the run game. He's not a complete player. Tatum Bethune has transformed so much in 2 years. And this is a testament to, man, you can't write these guys off. Just because they're not there now doesn't mean they won't be. Tatum Bethune is a stud special teamer. Yeah, it's one preseason game, but you've seen the incline through all of last year. He's out there covering, making perfect communication calls. He's the backup mic. He's blitzing now, making plays in space, which he could not even dream of doing his rookie year. Tatum Bethune's going to have a long-ass NFL career. I believe this. If he stays healthy, that's always, you know, a caveat. But he's out there commuting, correcting Nick Martin on where to go, blitzing, getting sacks, making plays on special team, getting good zone drops and coverage. He hasn't done that. Like, the growth, this guy's going to be signed as a mid-tier starter replacement mic player in the NFL whenever his rookie contract's over. He's going to back up Fred Warner, be a special teams guy, and, you know, that's what he's going to do here for the 49ers. When his rookie deal's done, there's going to be a team that's going to say, man, we can't pay a lot for a starting mic, but we need somebody we can trust, and Tatum Bethune's going to get that contract. He's going to be getting paid, you know, kind of $4 to $5 million to be a back-end mic starter for a team that just needs to plug a spot with a veteran. This guy's going to play in the end. I'm so proud of Tatum Bethune. Like, that tape was, he was just a run-only guy. Now, dude, like, that is just awesome. The development. Tatum Bethune, oh, dude, yeah, maybe you trade him. Bethune, maybe you get back a draft pick because you trade him. I don't want to, like, I'm very thankful they traded D Winners. I think it was best for D Winners. I think it was best for the 49ers. I think it was best for the Cowboys. I think it was, like, it's weird to get that, you know, triple win-win-win trade. I think it was. What would I take for Bethune? Probably not a fifth, maybe a fourth. Maybe I would take a fifth, but, like, dude, he's a good player. And you need that depth because who knows? Fred Warner is one of the most durable players in the NFL, but whenever he went down, yeah, it's a huge drop-off from Fred Warner to Tatum Bethune. But, dude, if you needed Tatum Bethune to go in at Will, you could. You needed Tatum Bethune to go in at Sam, you could. You need him to go in at Mike, he could. Special teams, yes. Like, I'm just telling you, that is a quality depth player on your roster that most teams do not have the luxury of having in 58. Tatum Bethune is a guy. He is a guy that has just put up so much consistent tape. Dude's going to be playing in the NFL for a long time. I love that, man. Mark P. Bethune got the luck of injuries as well, not just a develop off the field guy. Yeah, he's awesome. He's awesome. What's up, Sin? Appreciate you. Kid Klein said, I don't think Larry Worth will clear waivers if he doesn't make the 53. Dude, your safety game is on point. Given, you know, Larry Worth playing Will. But that's the NFL. The NFL is all linebackers that are former safeties and cover guys now. Fred Warner started that. There is life at linebacker before Fred Warner and after. He changed it. Changed the game. That's how impactful he is. Larry Worth's out there playing Will linebacker. There was a clip today. RS, Raj, you freaking stud, you. he had a clip of Larry Worth knocking down, you know, they got the assistant coach out there with the pad and you run it through. He's freaking de-cleating dudes. Larry Worth played 13 plays on defense and made a huge impact. He's putting up consistent tape. This is a rookie tryout player, not even a rookie draft pick, not an undrafted free agent. No. He's a rookie tryout player. Traits galore. Oh, man, he's fun. He got to get more snaps. Larry, like these guys that are back end of the roster guys, these are guys that are going to play the entire third preseason game. Had 13 snaps last week. I think he probably gets about 20 in the second game. He probably gets 40 in that third preseason game. Let's see what he could do. Man. Did Bethune get cut? Ooh. Let me go check out his Pro Football Reference page. I want to see the transactions. Let's see here. They signed him in 2024, placed him on IR, IR to return, IR, IR to return. I think that he may have gotten cut because, yeah, I think he might have. That transaction page needs to be updated. But, yeah, Bethune's been freaking awesome, dude. I love it. Yeah, Larry Worth came out of nowhere. Like, that is awesome. Let's see here. I got more notes. Dude, how cool is this that we are at this point in the season, baby, where we got film. We've got depth chart changes. We're getting positive injury news. This is awesome. If you are going to travel to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And we have a home tailgate. If you're going to the 49ers home opener against the Dolphins, we are throwing a tailgate right across the street. I'm super excited. At the AVE apartment house, we rented out their entire lodge. It's going to be badass. And we also have the new addition of the road game at the Chargers, the Thursday night game. So for all the LA faithful, which there are a lot of those, you go to any game this year, come party with us, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. 49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get autographed. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. All right, man, we've got some awesome comments. Mark, he says, what was the positive injury news? I missed it. One, Mike Evans is back in full team drills. That's huge. Jacob Cowing is back at practice. Jack Jones, who hurt his hand, he's practiced and didn't miss one single practice. Marquise Siegel was out with an oblique, didn't miss one practice. He's practicing. Nick Martin with a stinger in the game, he's back practicing. One, two, three, four, five, six positive injury things. That is huge. Focus on the positive. I think that is such a big deal. And Vader, yeah, Trent Williams today, I saw the quote on Grayson Halton. Reminds me of DJ Jones a little bit. You know, I talked about Grayson Halton yesterday, and I said, like, as excited as everybody is about Stribling, you should feel that same excitement about Grayson Halton. That's how good the tape was. Now, the first half, I said I couldn't find one negative on Grayson Halton. I found a negative play in the third quarter. Finally had one. Just got moved out of his gap. But one negative play. It got washed down a little too much in the run game, and whoop-de-doo. And on that, the funny thing on that play, Nick Martin made a hell of a play. Didn't get the stop, and it resulted in a huge positive run game. But Grayson Halton got washed all the way past the other guard on the backside, and it was just a gigantic hole. Nick Martin steps up, feels, eats grass, attacks vertically like you want him to do more often, takes on the blocker with the perfect outside shoulder. But because Grayson Haunt got washed down so far, that gap was just too big. Nick Martin played it perfectly, but backside backer got. And anyway, again, all this is up on the 49ersrush.com. You go watch it. It's going to make a lot of sense. But yeah, Trent Williams saying Grayson Haunt reminds me of DJ Jones a little bit. Shout out to Trent Williams. He will send out the most crazy top-end praise for his teammates, and you love that. To have a Hall of Famer endorse you behind a mic like that, that is huge. I think that's important. I think that's awesome. Invader, I trade Bethune or Martin and keep Larry Worth. Martin has more upside, especially with Robert Saleh in a different team now. But they drafted Anthony Hill Jr. Like, they drafted him in the second round. Like, a little bit different. Bethune, I mean, there's going to be a market for some of these guys. Might be able to get a sixth for Bethune. Might be able to get a fourth, fifth for Martin. I think you want to wait a little bit. And a lot of that has to determine with what's Drake Greenlaw's plan. Are you planning to bring him back for more than 1 year? If not, Bethune and Martin could be that guy in the future. I'm taking both of them over Larry Worth currently, but if somebody's willing to overpay off the top, all right then. You're going to give me a fourth for Martin, and that means I get to keep Larry Worth? Cool. You're going to give me a fifth for Bethune, and that means I get to keep Larry Worth? Cool. I don't think teams are out of there, like up there knocking on the door to offer that. And the time for those types of trades is right before the 53-man cutdown. It's not now. So there's still time because teams are starting to see, is our backup backer going to take steps? And the 49ers are waiting to see, is Larry Worth going to continue to be an ascending trade player? I don't think that that's the move that you try to make right now, right? I don't think that's the move yet. Right here, the 10XU. CMC got 30 touches because the Niners offense was depleted. The addition of Stribling, Evans, Debo will cut into that production. Sign me up. That's the way it's supposed to operate. Last year when your wide receiver one is DeMarcus Robinson and freaking banged up, hobbled, you know, Ricky Pearsall and Juwan Jennings. I get it. George Kittle's out. I get it. This year, Striblings, Evans, Debo, still got DeMarcus Robinson. Maybe Christian Kirk comes back. Like, there are more options. Christian McCaffrey should not be averaging 30-plus touches a game. Christian McCaffrey should not be leading the NFL in touches. Should not be. Not with this offense. Can Kyle limit himself? If Mac Jones was the quarterback, CMC would still get 30 touches a game because Mac Jones is going to throw it to 23 every single time. It's not a bad plan. That's not a bad thing. Christian McCaffrey should not be getting 30 touches a game with this roster at the skill set position. If it does cut back to that 20, 25 touches a game, man, should be at about 22 touches a game, which is still insane, right? Like, that's still insane. Let me open the calculator because I'm not a smart man. 22 times 17. That's still 374 touches. Now, let's say, okay, Christian McCaffrey's going to miss some time. Let's say 22 times 14. All right, that's still 308 touches. That's still a ridiculous amount. But, you know, you look at throughout Christian McCaffrey's career, and it's pretty freaking hilarious the amount of touches that this guy has had. How many touches did he have last year? 413. Yeah, that's stupid. He had 339 touches in 2023. He had 403 touches in 2019. Two prior times. Yeah, 403 touches 2019. Yep, next year, 76. Body couldn't hold up. Go to 2023, 339 touches. Next year, 65. Body couldn't hold up. Does that predict the future for CMC? Man, he looks good. Christian McCaffrey looks way better than at any point he did in training camp last year or the year before. Way better. And yeah, Jordan James and Kalen Black. I'm still Jordan James should be ahead of Kalen Black until, you know, he's got to prove. And the fact that he's missed this much time in camp really, really bothers me. Hurts for a 25-year-old rookie. But Jordan James and Kalen Black, can they show they're not practicing? They're not practicing. Yeah. Yeah, Pacino. Yeah, CMC's got a ton of cut touches. Trust me, Shanahan going to use them as much as possible. I hope not. I hope that Kyle Shanahan doesn't pepper Debo with targets against man coverage. I hope that Kyle Shanahan doesn't dial up 400-plus touches for Christian McCaffrey. You hope. You hope Kyle Shanahan will finally play Tonchus and Kittle together. You hope. These are hopes. We haven't seen it yet. We haven't seen it yet. Hopefully that changes. You guys are awesome. Today has been awesome. Again, you're walking away from today. You're loving the depth chart changes. The fact that Carver Willis is getting reps with ones, that's huge. Connor Colby getting reps at left guard, not Robert Jones. That is huge. Robert Jones was awful. And then all the positive injury news, that's huge. Oh, I love it. You guys are the best. Thanks for spending time with me. Time for me to go be a family man. And until next time, as always, stay strong, faithful. Peace.